It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles. Happy to be with you on a Friday, final hour of the week here on a numbers game. Paul Carr is going to be with us in a few minutes. Gold Cup quarterfinals, as we all are ready. We have multiple picks from Paul Carr because Paul Carr is the best. So we'll have some picks for the Gold Cup this weekend, the quarterfinals. Of course, remember the final of that tournament actually next Sunday. So it's a pretty quick knockout stage with only eight teams in the knockout stage, unlike in Euro where it's 16 in the knockout stage. So a quick moving knockout stage championship game. Actually, Allegiant Stadium just down the road here in Vegas, just up I-15 north from the South Point. Vinny Malheur will be with us as well. We're going to slow jam with Vinny. A little bit of a different style of slow jam today, but we'll have Vinny at 8:30. Let's do some NFL talk. We'll go American football leading in to the world's biggest and most popular game in soccer in a few minutes here. I want to talk about what receiving touchdown props and these odds all from BetMGM as we go along here. And we'll start at the bottom of the list here. So T.Y. Hilton, still in Indianapolis, 4.5. Oh, we'll actually go to the top. I'm better off with the top here because the best bet that I had was Travis Kelce. Was Travis Kelce at 10. Even money. Now, yesterday, I mistakenly, every once in a while, read something too quick and go with something that's off. I gave out yesterday Kelce over 10 minus 130. The actual number was actually even money, which if I like something over at minus 130 and the over is actually even money, of course I'm going to like the over at even money better than the minus 130. So Kelce over 10 receiving touchdowns. Now, I understand he's only gone over 10 once in his career, but I anticipate defenses will have an easier time. And again, we put easier in quotes because it's going to be very difficult to play defense against the Kansas City Chiefs as long as Patrick Mahomes is there, as we know. But I think defense will have more of a chance against Tyreek Hill this year than they have in the past. I think Tampa, and again, it's hard to do it when you have when you don't have the elite pass rush that the Bucs have to slow down that offense in Kansas City. But to me, Travis Kelce is more of a sure bet to go over than Tyreek Hill at 10.5. So I like Kelce at even money. The other ones on that list that you just saw on your screen, and a couple of the Titans guys together, A.J. Brown's at 8.5. Julio Jones in his first year in Tennessee, considerably lower than Brown. Brown at even money at 8.5. Julio at 5.5, heavy juice on the over at minus 175. It would not shock me if Julio Jones goes under the 5.5 at plus 140 and A.J. Brown goes over the 8.5. Now, some may think that's flipped, but the injury concerns for Julio Jones, at least he may miss some time this year because of the injury. And look, I think the familiarity with A.J. Brown with Ryan Tannehill is going to play a big role, especially early in this season, especially with a new offensive coordinator who had Todd Downing in his 1 year in Oakland, he had a brutal year. Again, it was the year after Derek Carr hurt his leg. So you had a quarterback that was still pretty skittish in the pocket because of that significant leg injury he had suffered the year before. Back in 2015 season. But look, the other ones on that board, not much interests me here. The Jaylen Waddle at 5.5 is interesting. It seems to me that the props down in Miami are kind of undervaluing what Devontae Parker is. Well, you'll see receiving yards a little bit later, but Devontae Parker's receiving yards are only 50 more than Cole Beasley's, which I don't think is right. Devontae Parker's still, even with the additions, he's still going to be the favorite target for Tua Tagovailoa down there in Miami. So I would steer clear of the Waddle prop. 5.5 is an interesting number, though. I would have expected to come in with the Jared Cook, T.Y. Hilton of the world number. Cortland Sutton at 5.5 is one I like over. I understand Denver's quarterback play is going to be mediocre probably, but I thought Cortland Sutton was due for a big year But then he tore his ACL in week two. So I would like to see how Sutton looks coming back from that ACL tear this year. Over 5.5 touchdowns, I think, is a good play, especially at the flat juice. It is a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Jeff Parles, in for Gil Alexander. And now with us, it is Paul Carr, True Media Sports, the Expected Value Podcast. Paul, thanks for being with us this morning. It's always fun to talk to you.
You bet. The soccer never stops. We've got Gold Cup. We've got the European preseason starting, and it never stops.
Hey, look, the Bundesliga 2 even began yep. today. So the soccer, as you say, especially now in this day and age, truly never stops. Let's start with your plays, and then we'll work our way through the Gold Cup. The Team USA will play Jamaica, but we'll get to that in a minute. I want to start with tomorrow, doubleheader. We'll start with the less sexy of the two matchups. Qatar, who there were multiple people who texted me, Paul, very confused why Qatar was in this tournament. But, of course, an invitee of CONCACAF. And they've looked pretty good so far in this tournament, taking on El Salvador, who acquainted themselves pretty well. And then even in a 1-0 loss to Mexico, not too bad for El Salvador. What would you look at here? Total two now 1.5, but you're looking at a alt total here, Paul Carr.
Yeah, I like goals in this game. I mean, Qatar, like you said, not a CONCACAF nation, but they're here for reasons both on the field and off the field related. Some may involve money. I don't know. Just saying. They've been a very entertaining team. They have the most expected goals in the tournament. Again, expected goals, basically how many goals you score on average, given the shots you've taken. So point being, they're both creating a lot of good opportunities themselves and also conceding a fair amount. So they have been very entertaining games. So I like over 2.5 here at plus 160. I know El Salvador has been more defensive. You saw that against Mexico, but I think that's just a different thing against a much better team. Qatar likes to kind of hang on to the ball. El Salvador likes to press. I think this is a volatile combination that will lead to some opportunities for both teams. I know it's a knockout game, so those can tend to get cagey. Teams can tighten up, et cetera. But I think getting a pretty good price, plus 160 at over 2.5, that is my play here.
And remember, everyone, we had this discussion during the Euros and yes. during the South American tournament as well in CONMEBOL. These bets, now that we're in knockout stage, it's for the 90 minutes and extra time, stoppage time, not including extra time. So if it goes, if you see it's the 110th minute, don't freak out about whatever total or whatever side you had because the draw will have cashed. And whatever the score was after the 90 and stoppage will be what cash is there, unless if you go in the two advanced markets. So just remember that. But Paul, on an alt total over on Qatar and El Salvador, 2.5 plus 160 over that total. Let's go to the other game on Saturday. A wayward group stage, to put it, for Mexico. A game against Trinidad and Tobago where, let's face it, they should have won that game about 6-0 and somehow managed a 0-0 draw. Beating Guatemala, who, again, shouldn't have been in the tournament. Got Curacao COVID issues KOing them. And then a 1-0 win against El Salvador, where they were clearly the better team, but just needed a win to win the group. They're taking on Honduras, who, look, from CONCACAF standards now, Paul, usually at this point, the consensus 3 or 4 team in the region, but Mexico right now a big favorite, minus 250 on the three-way money line. Honduras at 6-1, draw at plus 325, the total at 2.5. But you're looking at the Asian handicap market here, Paul Carr.
Yeah, the main line you'll find here, I think, is Mexico minus 1.5. I like the Asian handicap to play it at -1/-1.5, just to hedge in case there's, you know, it's a 1-0 dominant Mexico win, kind of like we saw against El Salvador, or, you know, Honduras gets a late goal and it makes 2-1, something like that. So I like the Asian handicap here, get an even money. You laid out a lot of the reasons to like Mexico in this game. If they had beaten Trinidad 2-0 and El Salvador 2-0, which both those games, that's kind of more what the underlying numbers look like, then I think you wouldn't get quite as good a price here just because Mexico's been pretty good. They've been basically Mexico. They just didn't quite finish as well as they maybe could have, would have, should have. And you give some credit to Trinidad and El Salvador for that. And Honduras is going to try to do the same sort of thing. We saw it against the U.S. in Nations League back in June, where they just played very defensive. They've got a couple talented forwards that they'll try to, you know, get out on the break and steal a goal or something. So I'd play Mexico on the Asian handicap just in case Honduras is able to, the defense is able to hold up and Mexico just sneaks out a low-scoring 1-0 type of win.
Well, it's trying to be a big month of calendar time for Mexico. Team Mexico in the Olympics steamrolled France.
Good start.
In their first match, which, by the way, Paul, it was a shock to me to see that Ochoa was still playing, goalie for Mexico in the Olympic Games. But in this one, Paul, on the Asian handicap, Mexico -1, -1.5, even money against Honduras in regulation. Those are the two plays for Saturday. Odds from William Hill here, Qatar. Oh, and El Salvador over 2.5 +160, and then Mexico laying the goal and a half against Honduras, even money. Paul Carr, True Media Sports, with us right now here on a numbers game. Paul, let's just go to the U.S. Jamaica matchup. Mm-hmm. Team USA looked all right in this tournament. They did what they had to do in group stage, winning out. Less than inspiring against Haiti. Good enough against a Canadian squad that. Let's face it, the Canadians are now squarely in their golden era of soccer. Mm-hmm. They take on Jamaica, -190 on Team USA, right. Jamaica at +475 in the three-way regulation time. Draw 3-1, the total at 2.5 here, Paul. What would you look to do here if you were to play this match?
Yeah, I lean Jamaica in general in this game just because, you know, again, if you're kind of just tuning in, this is not the A-list USA team here. So these guys playing in Europe that you saw in Nations League, your Christian Pulisic, your Weston McKennies, your Tyler Adams, none of these guys are on this team. This is largely an MLS team. You know, if you were making a 23-man qualifying roster for the US today, you'd have 4 or 5 or so of these guys on it, probably. Maybe one might sneak into the starting lineup, something like that. So that, just to know, that's kind of what we're dealing with. Jamaica's got most of its good players, including Leon Bailey, who's a star winger for Leverkusen. He may end up moving to the Premier League this offseason. So, I mean, you said the U.S. has not been convincing. They kind of grinded out a win against Jamaica. Probably kind of fortunate to beat Canada. I was at that game. It was a lot of fun. From an atmosphere standpoint, it wasn't as much fun on the field. If you're getting, you know, north of +450 for Jamaica to win in regulation, or I think it's around +300 to advance, which I kind of like a little better. I think that's the way I lean on this game, just because this is a relatively inexperienced U.S. team. They haven't shown a lot of attacking prowess so far in this tournament, and Jamaica's got, you know, the skills. They're in that running, kind of you said with Honduras, to be that third, fourth, fifth best CONCACAF team. They've made 2 straight Gold Cup semifinals, so they've got some pedigree in this tournament, experience in this tournament. So, yeah, I would lean Jamaica in this matchup, as much of it kind of pains my flag-waving U.S. soul.
Well, if Jamaica were to pull the upset, the Qatar-Jamaica matchup that we all expected in Austin would be the matchup there. And then all the fans that bought up the tickets here expecting a Mexico-USA final just down the road at Allegiant Stadium would be pretty disappointed there, Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the TV networks, all the people selling everything are rooting for the U.S. and Mexico to get as far as they possibly can.
Absolutely. Paul Carr with us right now. The other Team USA... The Team USA women's national team, again, the world power, had won over 40 in a row in international play in Tokyo, in the Tokyo Olympics, hammered by Sweden earlier this week. Again, the Swedes are one of the better teams in the world behind the United States, but you never see Team USA get handled like that. Sweden won that match 3-0. A little bit easier here in this second group stage match for Team USA. They get New Zealand. And, Paul, this would make sense for a Team USA bounce back here in the second group stage day.
Yeah, the narrative is so strong here you see this in every sport. You know, good team gets upset, they come back, they're playing a weak team, and you just expect them to roll. And it's kind of a cliche, but I think it's what's going to happen here. So I played this right after, basically as soon as the line went up, I played this at minus 165 for the U.S. To cover 2.5 goals. Yesterday it was at like minus 210 for that, and it might be off the board some places now. And like now it's minus 3.5, and it's down about plus 110. So this line is shifting heavily toward the U.S. I'm not sure it's worth playing the game line now if you're going to give 3.5 goals. I do kind of like the first half line, plus 120 for the U.S. to cover 1.5 goals if you're looking for something. But, yeah, it's just hard to see anything but a dominant U.S. win happening. New Zealand is okay. They're a team that makes most major tournaments, but they never go anywhere in these things. They've got, you know, a couple of some decent players from NWSL, but they also were very late assembling their team. I just feel like the U.S. is going to roll here. And remember, goal difference matters as far as where you finish in the group. So, if, you know, if U.S. wants any chance to catch Sweden and win the group, they've got to pretty much crush New Zealand here. And if they care about finishing second and third, and I don't think that's really a big difference as far as advancing and who you play next, but you want to put yourself in the best possible position heading to that group finale against Australia. And that means winning this game, you know, by 3 goals at the very least, since that's what you just lost to.
Right.
Sweden.
And Paul, this, this format for the Olympic soccer, very different than a lot of people are accustomed to. There's only 12 teams. It's 3 groups, but 8 of the 12 end up making it to the knockout stage. So, again, not much of a doubt that Team USA will likely make it through, assuming they, again, 4 points should be enough to get yourselves through, especially with how big of a mess the bottom of Group F looks like with China and Zambia. Zambia, who only gave up 10 goals to the Netherlands the other day.
Is that all?
Yeah. So, Paul, before we let you go, just, I haven't talked to you since Euro ended, and I know you've been on the network, but for England to lose in that fashion, at home, in penalty kicks, with arguably, look, two of the best young players in the entire world missing penalties at the end, just for next year's World Cup, just how does that impact England moving forward? Because, again, it's the quicker turnaround than usual because the pandemic postponement of Euro 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think it's a good thing for them. You know, just get to turn around. You're playing a year and a half later. You know, this is all assuming they get through qualifying and such, which they should, given the way Europe is set up right now. But, I mean, I think the good side is, you know, these guys are still in their prime. There's obviously less chance of injury, but you know, who knows how this weird season is going to affect everyone. It's just, you know, you always say, oh, they're going to have more chances. You say this about everybody. You know, I mean, I'm a Dolphins fan and grew up hearing Marino's going to have more chances since he made the Super Bowl one time. England's never going to have a better chance to win a major tournament than at home. You know, you're a favorite or close to it against Italy. You've got all this talent. There are so many of them at their peak. You don't know what a year or two or three or five is going to do. So yeah, just a giant missed opportunity. You'd like to think they're going to be back for more, but like tournaments are hard. You got to get through 3-4 knockout games just to get to a final. So I feel for England. They had it all right there. It would have been a jubilant nation and all that. And they blew an opportunity in a lot of different ways.
And Donnarumma turned the performance in Euro 2020 right into being PSG's number one keeper away. So good on Donnarumma. And again, of course, the Italians winning Euro 2020 earlier this month. He's Paul Carr. True Media Sports is where you can find Paul Carr's great work. Get him on the tweets at Paul Carr. Paul, it's always a pleasure to be to have you on. And let's get some winners this weekend in the Gold Cup.
Yeah. Yeah, should be a fun one. International soccer, summer soccer is always fun. And then, yeah, like you said, the Bundesliga 2 started. There's Champions League qualifying that's already started. We're about 3 weeks away from the main European leagues getting started. So never stops for better and worse.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Thanks for being with us this morning, Paul.
You bet. Have a good one, Jeff.
You as well. Again, just a quick recap of the two official plays for Paul Carr today. Both in the Gold Cup, taking an alternate total over 2.5 in Qatar and El Salvador. Qatar is playing in a CONCACAF tournament. There are monetary reasons behind that one for sure. And then Team Mexico going with the Asian handicap, taking Mexico -1, -1.5 against Honduras. That is a late night on Saturday on the East Coast. So you have some time to get these bets in, both of these matches, tomorrow or before Team USA takes on Jamaica on Sunday, and Costa Rica takes on Canada Sunday. 4:30, the start time for Qatar and El Salvador tomorrow. So that's the first one that you have to get in. Mexico, 3 hours after that. At that's 4:30 Pacific for Qatar, El Salvador. So 7:30 Eastern, and then 10:30 Eastern for Mexico and Honduras. Some more NFL news this morning. Not much on the betting perspective here, but long-term stability in Green Bay seems to be a big problem all of a sudden. Another report from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Devontae Adams and the Green Bay Packers have broken off long-term extensions. There's talk. There's no plans to resume them. It's been months, apparently, but those negotiations in a bad spot. So, look, the Aaron Rodgers cloud just looms ever so largely over everything in Green Bay now, which, again, not much of a surprise when you're dealing with an elite player like that, the reigning MVP, and now arguably the best wide receiver in the game, breaking off contract negotiations. Again, camp for the Packers starting early next week, and the again, we don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to play week one. We assume he's going to play. I would imagine that this is going to be a scenario where Aaron Rodgers just does not show up until the last possible moment. And then week one in the Superdome, Aaron Rodgers is playing for the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers will still be fine. Nothing wrong with them if Aaron Rodgers plays. If Jordan Love plays, then yeah, we got to reevaluate a whole bunch. When we get back, we're going back to the AFC playoff picture. I'll give you an AFC championship future I like, and also look at some quarterback props. That's coming up next as we roll along here on A Numbers Game on a Friday morning on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Today's new episode of the Ron Flatter Racing Pod features a cast reunion of the 2014 TV series Horse Players. Jockeys Guild CEO Terry Meeks discusses the riding crop controversy in last week's Haskell Stakes, and DraftKings Sportsbook's Johnny Avello handicaps this weekend's top races, including the coaching club American Oaks at Saratoga. Subscribe at iHeart, Apple, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher, or download it now at VSiN.com/podcast. The Ron Flatter Racing Pod is brought to you by First Bet. It is A Numbers Game here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. Jason Kahn is with us as well. So jamming with Vinny coming your way in a little less than 10 minutes from now. Of course, live here at the South Point. Let's dive back into the NFL and the AFC. Let's go do some passing props here. Let's do some passing props. Patrick Mahomes is the highest one on the board in all respects. I know, what a shocking development that Patrick Mahomes is the highest one on the board. We'll go to passing yards first, and you'll see it on your screen momentarily at vsin.com. Patrick Mahomes, 5,025.5 passing yards. Again, all flat juice across the board. Bet MGM is where you're finding these odds, as you see them on your screen right now. And for Mahomes' best yardage season so far. Again, remember 2019, we can't really count, missed a few games from handicapping this 4,031. The 2018 season, where he did play all 16 games, was 5,097. In 16 games. 2019, he missed two games. Last year, he didn't play game 16, week 17, because the Chiefs already had the number one seed all locked in. So as you look at these numbers on Mahomes, you do get the extra game, but the one thing you have to keep in mind, and you have to keep this in mind with teams that you expect to win their division comfortably. Week 18, game 17, is now probably more than ever because it's an extra game and an extra game taxing on the body for these NFL players. You have to imagine teams that have seeding and divisions wrapped up, and I anticipate because of their week one win over Cleveland and because of what their division is, that Kansas City will have both the one seed and the AFC West divisional crown wrapped up by week 18, that you're making this a 16-game handicap on Patrick Mahomes' 5,025 yards. It just is very difficult to go over that high of a number, even in a 16-game season. I know he's done it already once, that first full season at 5,097, but that's going to be a stay-off for me at 5,025 yards for Mahomes. I'd actually lean to the under if you were going to make me bet the yardage prop on the, again, the highest prop total on the board in the league, period. One that I do like over, though, and it's actually right here in town. And I understand that Derek Carr has gotten the captain check down moniker in the past. Carr at 4,025.5, okay? With an extra game on the schedule, with the extra game on the schedule this year, that should be a number he goes over at 4,025. Derek Carr, the last three seasons in a 16-game schedule, and I don't anticipate the Raiders will be a team that is impacted by clinching scenarios. They're going to play their guys the whole way through. Derek Carr, 2018, 16 starts, 4,049 yards. 2019, 16 starts, 4,054 yards. Derek Carr, 2020, 4,103 yards. Again, not comfortably over, but still over the 4,025. And you're going to give me an extra game on Derek Carr? I'm taking that with ease. That's my favorite over on the passing yards. Passing touchdowns, real quickly here as we look at BetMGM. The one that I like the most is Ryan Tannehill at 28.5, and I understand you have Derrick Henry, you have Tannehill's legs, but I anticipate a season where Tennessee has to basically score, I don't want to say on every possession because that's a little excessive, but their defense is so bad, and they're going to be trailing in games, coming from behind in games because of how awful that defense is. At 28.5, I like Tannehill over the 28.5 minus 110. I also kind of like Zach Wilson over 20.5 minus 125. I know rookies can have struggles. We have seen it plenty of times. But I expect Zach Wilson to figure it out midseason. And the back end of the Jets schedule, relatively weak. So I think Wilson will be able to take advantage of that. When we get back, we're slow jamming with Vinny Maliulo. That's next here on The Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
The VSiN football betting guides are coming soon, and there's no better way to prepare for college and pro football this year. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide is only $20, and discounts are available when you buy both. Now is the time to reserve your copy. Or sign up for VSiN All Access and get everything we offer for the entire football season. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Let's do some slow jamming.
I guess I have to speak. Who put him on mute? Look, I see the mute button. Is this on? Is my mic on?
He's here. You're here. We hear you.
All right.
We hear you. Just
I saw there you go. Look, the mute button is flashing. What's up, Parlay?
Oh, it's good to have you on a desk with me, Vinny. It's been a while. We've shared the desk on my guys.
That's right.
In tight quarters with you. It's good to be.
We're socially distant.
now exactly. Again. Now we're the proper 6 feet apart.
Oh,
here.
Oh Lord.
Oh man. So, how you doing this morning?
I'm well, buddy. Everything's good. You know, we We were wondering if we were going to have a game seven in the NBA. We did not. But the finals didn't disappoint. I think a lot of folks were wondering if it wasn't Lakers Nets, would there be a precipitous drop-off in terms of the handle? There wasn't. There was more of a drop-off when the Golden Knights were eliminated in the NHL playoffs.
For the Stanley Cup
Final. And that's understandable, I think, particularly here with the locals. I mean, you know, more seasoned bettors, professional bettors, they stuck with the finals, with the Canadiens and Tampa Bay. But not disappointed at all in the hand. Now, would the Lakers and Nets have been a higher handle had it gone six games or seven games? Probably, but not as... much of a drop off.
Would have anticipated it didn't. It wouldn't matter if who the opponent was. If the Lakers were there, the handle would have been higher anyway.
Probably Lakers, Bucks. But I think everybody was. You know, a lot of folks were hoping for that. You know, all the star power there. But look, hey, listen, Giannis was. There was plenty of star power with the finals as well. So
well, and again, it's four straight a backdoor sweep for Milwaukee, yep. too. I would imagine that some people did hit you a little bit for that series price after game two when it peaked, close to $5.
Yeah, there was some investment there. But overall, I mean, the futures were good. You know, the futures on the Suns for the conference were not good. But in terms of the championship, both teams were fine. I mean, the Bucks were really good, actually, because they were, you know, one of the shorter-priced teams. You know, coming out of the East, I mean, the Nets got the majority of the money. So when they got knocked out, too, so you have to remember there's futures on the way,
of course,
as well. So it was listen, no complaints about the finals.
Let's go to something that actually has already started. The opening ceremonies in Tokyo actually just concluded. Again, time zone differences are going to play a problem for us here on the West Coast.
Yes,
Vinny. But let's. Let's just dive in here because it's an Olympics that a lot of us are surprised are still happening. Mm-hmm. It's an Olympics in a very different time zone from where we're at here in Vegas.
Yeah.
But you guys here at the South Point, Vinny, offering the hoops, the soccer, mm-hmm. Some props as well.
Yeah.
But how do you anticipate this getting bet, especially coming off a great handle basketball season in the NBA?
I think what we'll see is so we put up last week over and under gold medals won by country and gold medal, who would win the particular events, mm-hmm. you know, men's and women's soccer, men's and women's basketball, et cetera. So there wasn't as much interest in the futures. Some, believe it or not, they bet the under medals in the United States and Russia. But the thing is, what we'll see, Jeff, is the majority of the Olympic handle will come in the individual events, the individual basketball games, particularly where the Americans are involved, I think. The soccer will see action. But, you know, full disclosure, it's not going to be a tremendous amount of handle. Now, even I think what helps us here at the Stop Point is that we're a 24-hour book and we can, you know, we can show them live. But I think what's confusing to a lot of folks is the time delay. Like you mentioned the opening ceremonies. Well, the opening ceremonies were in the middle of the night here. So it's,
right.
You know, it's so for the events, you have to encourage folks to pay attention to these times. I mean, some of these games, these basketball games, are in the middle of the night. Now, again, we're a 24-hour book in a 24-hour town with three shifts, so that's probably easier here. But not every book is open 24 hours mm-hmm. by virtue of choice and by from logistics standpoint. But you know, it's kind of confusing to a lot of folks as to, you know, what time these events are starting.
Well, and you bring that up, Team USA for men's hoops, their first game is Sunday morning.
Right.
For the East Coast, it's not too bad. It's 8 a.m., but 5 a.m. out here against France. And yeah. Look, Team USA, people will bet that game. I know the early action has been on the French so far because of what we've seen from Team USA. But I would imagine that, that most of the action will be pro-USA we go along.
I think there'll be some support for the United States here against France. You know, these European teams are a bit more. See, their chemistry is a bit stronger simply because they play together a lot more. Even though several players on some teams do play in the NBA, but they've been back with their teams for a longer period of time. We're just having a couple of players from the Bucks get to Japan to
Devin Booker, too.
I mean, and Devin Booker as well. So from the Suns. So it's a matter of chemistry. And look at the end of the day. The talent will definitely get the United States to a point where they should be in a better position. Now they've got to finish the deal. But you're right, 5 o'clock in the morning, and again, you know, we'll have folks here, but make sure that game will be bet on all through Saturday.
Of course, that will be the Saturday baseball card will be rolling in to Team USA France on Sunday morning,
just like we saw with the Euro Cup soccer. But again, that's the American game. It's not going to be every game.
The Euro Cup soccer was quite the boon for you guys.
It was great. It was the time of the games was terrific. You know, at say like 8 and noon, and then that just led right into day baseball and then the evening and night baseball. It was perfect.
There's nothing wrong with having events all day long. Nothing wrong with that
because folks just either reinvest or they keep trying to get their money back.
Absolutely. Vinny Maliulo with us now. We're slow jamming along, and we're going to continue slow jamming along. I have some NFL questions for you, Vinny. We're going to go next as we continue on. Final segment of the week here on A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Esports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Turn a $1 wager into $100 on the Yankees or Red Sox to hit a home run tonight with BetMGM. Just use the bonus code VSIN100 when you sign up for the King of Sportsbooks and get ready for showtime. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com for more details and make sure you use that promo code VSIN100. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older to place a wager. Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, Washington, D.C., or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text REDLINE 1-800-889-9789. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. And in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help. It is A Numbers Game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Jeff Parles. He is Vinny Maliulo. Slow jamming here on a Friday, as always. Vinny, let's go to the NFL.
Yeah.
Before we get into the news of the day, because of what the NFL released yesterday with potential forfeits could be on the way if a team has a outbreak with unvaccinated players. Mm-hmm. How are you guys handling that game basis, season win total basis? If again, we'd still get the 17 technically, but if there were if there happened to be a forfeit anywhere across the board,
we don't recognize forfeits.
Okay,
I mean, that's pretty sure.
Okay,
what's interesting about that ruling, by the way, is we had a game last year when obviously the COVID situation was much more severe. Remember the game in Denver where
Kendall Hinton,
the Broncos had no quarterback. And in fact, I heard that you actually auditioned that week in Denver.
Hey, that was a very poor audition.
I don't think it was a matter of results. I think that you couldn't come to financial terms.
Couldn't afford me, right?
But I think there's still more to come of this. So before we start getting into the room again, you've got to pay attention to. Your house rules and stipulations. We require, for instance, regular season wins. All 17 games must be played. So, if the game's not played, it's not played. It's real simple. So, from our perspective. But I think, I'm actually personally a little surprised that the union hasn't said anything. The Players Association hasn't said anything about it. Maybe, I guess, they're in favor of it. I'm not sure yet. But it is something to pay close attention to.
Right.
But as far as forfeits go, we don't recognize forfeits.
I will say this. I would be, again, last year, when you were right, the conditions were significantly worse. Legitimately had a game pushed back five separate times.
Yeah, we had games moved. Yeah. The Steelers-Ravens game
from Thanksgiving to the following Wednesday. Right. I mean, you're there. It's going to take something that we didn't even see last year for them to just completely make a team forfeit. I really do believe that.
Well, I think when you start now talking about getting into players' wallets as well with this, this is an issue, too, that the league is saying for unvaccinated. Well, what happened? We've seen situations where folks that are vaccinated are testing positive as well. So I think this is... I think this bears watching, and we'll certainly pay very close attention to it as well.
Let's go to things we do know for sure. Mm-hmm. Cam Akers isn't going to play this year for the Rams. Achilles injury wipes his season out. Mm-hmm. Michael Thomas is going to miss at least, the first month of the season off of an ankle surgery to clean up some issues that he was having last year as well, had that surgery last month. A running back usually doesn't move the needle on season win totals or futures. Does Michael Thomas move anything at all just because of his importance to that offense in a year where there's uncertainty at quarterback for New Orleans?
Well, that's where it starts, I think, right? But let's go to the Rams first. The fact that Daryl Henderson is still there, and again, this is predicated on him being healthy. There wasn't a whole lot of different statistics in terms of rushing yards between Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson last year. I think Henderson had probably about a dozen less carries and about three less touchdowns. Now, I'm not minimizing, the loss of Cam Akers. I think it was pretty important to them, but I think that we're still going to watch how the Rams come. They get Cooper Kupp back, which I think is important for them, and it's a passing league. Mm-hmm. The whole quarterback change definitely benefits them as well. Now the division is competitive,
stacked.
Right?
It's stacked.
I mean, it's one of the you can make a case maybe the most competitive division in the league, certainly in the NFC from top to bottom. So, but it hasn't changed anything. And here's the first thing you look at, right? It's game one, week one. Where the Rams are at home on Sunday night against the Bears as 7-point favorites, and it hasn't changed anything. It hasn't changed any of the odds for the division, and so or regular season wins. But the Michael Thomas one, here's the thing about that, because what's important to remember, Jeff, is now he missed half the season or a little more than half the season last year. Mm-hmm. The whole Drew Brees retiring. Who is the starting quarterback, and who is the every-down quarterback for the New Orleans Saints? I think that's the bigger question going into the season, because not only is Michael Thomas going to miss, quote-unquote, the first part of the season, what is the first part now of a 17-game season? Is it a month? Is it 6 weeks? We don't know. But they're also without... They lose Cooks. They lose Sanders as well. So there's right there, there's a depth issue. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to see how they go through camp, how the young players perform in camp. I mean, there's certainly also a report today that they're out, looking at free agents. They're going to be auditioning free agents. So, but, it's not an overreaction right now. I mean, when you look at The Buccaneers are far and away. You know, they're the class of the division. I mean, that's not a stretch, right? So, I mean, you have to lay a price for them in the division, and of course, you got the Falcons and the Panthers. Saints are second. Are they going to get better than 3-1 for to come at second in division? Probably have to go up to $3.50 or $4. I mean, because again, but you had those questions at the quarterback position going out. Now you've got this. What's really interesting too is he had this injury, but he just got operated. Right? I think he had the surgery in June, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
It's just getting reported now. You kind of wonder. My biggest question is, what took so long? You know, did he go through five months of rehab?
Probably went through some rehab, tried to do it without the surgery, and
I guess
never got to the level that he needed to get to it. And, but look, with the Saints and on the show, I'll go through what I think of them. I'm probably going to change maybe a win or two early in the season.
By the way, their win total is 9. And, yeah, you know. It was 9 under 30. They actually bet it over. We went to 9 under 15, but that'll probably go back.
Probably go back to 9:30. Won't take enough to get to 8.5 at any point.
I don't think so. Not
and the one benefit, though, that New Orleans does have, they have a very early bye week. Mm-hmm. So if this is the first third of the season, he'll be missing one less game than he normally would. Mm-hmm. So that is the only solace we could potentially look at if Thomas is not out again half a season, Vinny.
The other part of it is, again, going back to the quarterback situation, remember this. With only 3 exhibition games this year, you wonder which week is going to be what we used to call week 3, which was, you know, dress rehearsal week.
Yes.
I'm not so sure there's going to be a dress rehearsal week this year. I'm not so sure we're going to see regulars a whole lot this preseason. You're going to see teams really working some things out, I think, through September.
So, and I agree with you. First off, we were talking about this during the break. The move from 3 preseason games to 17 regular season games. I think Vinny might be the only person happier than just a regular fan, just because you get another week of booking a regular season week as opposed to a preseason week.
Well, you know, preseason always gets interest, right? But your limits are not as high, not nearly, because you don't know how long. First of all, if regulars are going to play and how long they're going to play.
Correct.
So if you ask an operator, bookmaker, to you know, if you could switch out, listen, I'll switch them all. Let them play, you know, 20 games. I mean, listen, we realize there's got to be an exhibition season, but the fact that there's now 17 regular season games compared to 16, it's a boom for business. There's no question about it, because your limits are so much higher. More meaningful games. Teams are in the playoff picture longer, and so forth. So the ripple effect of it from a betting standpoint, a handle standpoint, is pretty significant.
No, 100% too. And we only have to talk about how John Harbaugh is unbelievably great at covering games as the Ravens head coach in the preseason for only 3 weeks as opposed to 4 this year.
Well, now, yeah, he'll be do you put an asterisk next to that? I'm not so sure.
I guess so. Vinny, but before we wrap up here, baseball.
Yeah.
The Giants just walked into Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. Torched Kenley Jansen back-to-back nights. A little bit of help from the first base umpire last night at Dodger Stadium on what should have been strike 3 ball game over on Darren Ruff.
That's Dave Roberts about that.
But the Giants are now 3 games up on the Dodgers.
They're not going away.
This is now at the moment where this is serious now, where the Giants could legitimately win this division.
Well, you can't exclude the Giants. Everybody thought it was going to be a 2-team race between the Dodgers and the Padres, and the Giants have shown no signs of going away. I don't think they will. They've got another series coming up with the Dodgers here within the next week, so that's going to bear watching as well. So Giants are not going to be sellers, that's for sure.
Oh, best record in baseball. Be interesting to see how they change their roster over the next 8 days before the deadline. Vinny.
Always good to see you.
Thank you, as always. He's Vinny Maliulo. At VSiN Vinny, the easiest Twitter handle to know on the network. That's all the time we have here on A Numbers Game. We'll see you next week here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The Lombardi Line next.